Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome to Cavs the Podcast. I'm Nate Smith, and I'm here with Chris Francis, and that was fun, Chris.
Yes, it was. It was highly entertaining.
I mean, yeah, I thought the Grizzlies were going to score 146 the first half.
They were on their way until the Cavs boned up a little bit in the second half.
Yeah, so your final score was Memphis 132, Cleveland 131. I think Cleveland trailed by as much as 14 in the game, or 16 in the game, and cut it all the way to 1 with about 5 minutes left, and unfortunately kind of couldn't close the gap and, you know, struggled to contain Ja Morant. We saw JB Bickerstaff come out with a very odd lineup at about the 4 or 5 minute mark with the three guard Garland, Sexton, Rubio lineup with Mobley and Markkanen. And then they replaced one of them. They replaced Mobley with Jared Allen. And I didn't understand the lineup at all because Jared Allen, despite your misgivings in the preseason, was absolutely awesome tonight. I don't think you would argue with that, at least for scoring the basketball wise. Would you disagree?
Yeah, no. He was fantastic. And also as active as I've ever seen him defensively in a while. Didn't he have 6 stocks, I think?
He did, yeah. He had 3 blocks and 3 steals. He was everywhere on the floor, and, you know, 4 rebounds and assist, 1 turnover, and we'll get to the rebounds in a bit, but, you know, super exciting game, and 11 of 11 from the field, and 3 for 4 from the free throw line for 25 points, and it's hard to get worse than 11 for 11 from the field. I actually felt like the Cavs weren't giving him the ball enough, you know, down the stretch. And the player that really frustrated me was Lauri Markkanen, who got the start at the 3 tonight. And what was interesting, I think he was 4 for 14, had a shot blocked 5 times, rivaling Colin Sexton's blocks against record maybe this year. And that was frustrating, but I mean the two real big reasons they lost, out rebounded 53-36. Steven Adams had 6 offensive rebounds, mainly by just manhandling Jared Allen and Evan Mobley and Lauri Markkanen for defensive boards, and a lot of holding picks from behind that freed Ja Morant to get clear lanes to the basket for 37 points and 6 dimes, which was an impressive feat. Ja Morant was pretty awesome this game. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, he was a superstar. I mean,
yeah.
I think it was Austin Carr that was saying anytime that the Cavs made a run, he would make a play. And that's exactly what superstars do, is they make those plays at those times where momentum, like, they're momentum changers, you know, momentum changers and momentum builders. And he and his perimeter mates were able to do that every time the Cavs tried to make a run. So it was, Memphis is going to, wow, I guess, you know, Ja Morant making a leap this year to like a top 50 player You know, I wonder how far that takes Memphis. You know, that'll be very interesting to see.
If he plays like he did tonight, it'll be higher than top 50. I mean, he 29 shots, 37.6 assists, and only two turnovers with the unbelievably high usage is really incredible. Now, that being said, the Cavs defense was pretty porous. Memphis shot 53% from the field and 42% from three, and they really were turning it on from three in the first half, and the Cavs were really failing to close out to shooters. I thought Lauri Markkanen was especially bad defensively in the first half, and they picked it up to start the third, but they'd already kind of dug themselves a hole.
Yeah, I'm not as down on as you are on the Lauri Markkanen experience. I mean, I see, you know, he was minus four in 31 minutes, nine rebounds, which is an obvious weakness of his that he, you know, I'm impressed, you know, that he got nine rebounds. I never expected that. And like you said, maybe it was bad in the first half and better in the second half. I think there was definitely extra effort that was noticeable and effective in the second half, especially coming out that third quarter. So, you know, one thing I do agree with you is what in God's name was that lineup at the end of the fourth quarter? You know, it's like playing Rubio off ball is something I'll never understand. It's just the goofiest thing I've ever seen at the most crucial point in the game. So,
well, and the funny thing about that is if you look at those three guys, Rubio and Garland and Sexton, who would you want handling and who would you want be the shooters? It would be Garland and Sexton.
Yes, you're exactly right. That's, oh my gosh. Yes, you're absolutely 100%, 100, 200% correct. And it just goes to show, you know, it's either bad coaching or it's just we're doing this tanking development thing. We're not about winning. You know what I mean? It's just like you put the ball in Rubio's hands if you want to win the game. You know, it's so brain dead obvious to do that, and it's not something that they seem interested in doing.
Well, yeah, I don't quite agree 100% agree there, but I did, you know, I think a lot of people noted that Isaac Okoro was a much better defender than any other Cavs perimeter defender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and Okoro, yeah, who only, you know, took five shots, had two and ones. On his way to 8 points, I actually think he played a really solid game all over the court, but he only got about 20 minutes of time. And I'm just kind of baffled why you would play Lauri Markkanen, basically another forward, and then, you know, send Isaac Okoro to the bench when you've got a guy on the other. Now,
you absolutely nailed it. That's the whole thing.
Let me finish, though.
Well, okay. I'm just saying that's the whole thing is that Lauri Markkanen at the three doesn't work without Okoro at the two, you know, which is, you know, that's what I'm hearing you say when they decide to start Markkanen, but they don't start Okoro.
Yeah, so, I mean, the other side of that, I will say Okoro was limited by foul trouble. He had three fouls in the first half.
That's true.
It limited his playing time, but, I mean, clearly he wasn't getting any run down the stretch, and the Cavs' bigs were not getting to the level of the pick on defense, and Ja was just turning to the corner and either getting to the basket or shooting that floater, and he literally, to win the game or to ice the game, shot a 25-foot floater from the three-point line that was just absolutely ridiculous, to basically put the nail in the coffin on the Cavs and the projected point spread. So,
are you serious?
The Cavs didn't even cover.
Oh, boo. Well, some of those finishes that Ja Morant had, oh my God. Like, he was finishing over good contests by Mobley and Allen. I mean, it was just, there was at least a half dozen wow plays in this game from Ja Morant. I mean, that's, you know, it was just ridiculous. We saw something incredible tonight.
Yeah, and the other part of what Memphis did was you know, I think a lot of people expected them to start Kyle Anderson. Well, they went and started Desmond Bane and DeAnthony Melton, guys who hadn't been regular starters for them. Desmond Bane, 30th pick of last year's draft, who will, you know, I know our own Elijah Kim wanted the Cavs to buy into that spot and draft him last year. Well, Bane only scored 22 points and Melton only scored 20. and they looked really good. And clearly the coaching advantage there was to Memphis, who just told them, hey, go out and shoot them out of the zone they're trying to play with these three bigs and go just make Lauri Markkanen defend in space and defend at the three-point line. And they absolutely did that. I, you know, one of the things I noted in the second quarter, I had tweeted about how Lauri Markkanen was a total dud this game. And then somebody on Twitter had basically said, yeah, and why are the Cavs running a defense where he's just straight up matched up on Ja Morant? I mean, that's just a disaster. That should never happen. But it did. And, you know,
I mean, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head that starting Markkanen at the three without Okoro is an idiotic decision. Who is guarding the perimeter? You've got Darius Garland, Colin Sexton, or Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, who's the defender? Yeah, who's the defender
in
that group?
You know, and we'll get in a little bit to the guy that was the defender in Evan Mobley, and also Jared Allen. Evan Mobley and Jared Allen played great defense from the three-point line in. I mean, they switched on guys, contested shots, you know, funneled guys to their help. They were fantastic. But you, if you're running a lineup with only two good defenders on it, you're going to have problems. You know, yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah, and as for Sexland, they struggled. Darius Garland turned his ankle in the first half and, you know, had a hard time elevating. Definitely was shooting from three more than he was driving. He did, however, have 12 assists and 13 points, but was 5 of 15 from the field and 3 of 10 from three. But I did love the frequency with which he was shooting. So that was a good sign. To only two assists. I mean, the Cavs as a team had 38 assists, which was three more than their season high last year.
To only 10 turnovers. Yeah.
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 And the Cavs had two double digit assist guys. When's the last time you can remember that happening?
I know.
Rubio had a really nice game, 12 points, 10 boards, four rebounds, you know, 3 for 7 from three, missed some shots he probably shouldn't have. Kind of got bogged down in the offense late in some of the shot clocks. Didn't get them into their sets quite as quick as he should have a few times. But, you know, for kind of the goofy lineups the Cavs were running, he played pretty darn well. I didn't see anything too much from Ricky Rubio that concerned me, although he did get lost on D a few times.
But, yeah, I mean, he got backdoored all night. And I think the preseason data showed that he was kind of he was not nearly at the level of defense that he's has been typically in his career. So I'm worried that just kind of age and time has kind of sapped his legs a little bit, the sudden, you know, the twitch movement. And, you know, it's not going to be as effective at the point of attack that he once was.
Yeah, I would also say that, you know, one of his problems is that the lack of cohesiveness of the Cavs defense.
Right. There's
there's a lot of communication issues. There's a lot of rotation issues. You know, when you don't know where you're supposed to be and you're old, it's a bad combination. Yeah.
You know, it's the bumps and bruises of the first time playing out there, you know? So yeah, it was definitely, I mean, there was so many defensive breakdowns, and that's really where, you know, that's really where the game was lost is on the defensive end, not on the offensive end.
Yeah, the boards and the defensive end for sure. And when we come back, we'll talk about, you know, some of the things that we liked and some of the things that we didn't like. And So stay tuned. Welcome back to Cavs the Podcast. So, Chris, give me two things you liked that you saw from the Cavs tonight.
Well, one that stands out is they fought in the second half. I mean, that's important for a young team, and it was important for young guys not to hang their head, especially Garland. You know, he finally, you know, his shot wasn't working, but those three threes that he made in the fourth quarter were game changers. You know, they brought him to within one. So I'm glad that there was a confidence to keep shooting his shots, even though they weren't falling. I mean, he did do 12 assists and only two turnovers. That's elite stuff. You know, he was running offense. He was getting easy looks. He was getting guys, you know, the ball. There was, it was rough on the defensive end for him. You know, there was no stocks to be spoken of, but, you know, just as a whole and, you know, Allen, you know, and the young guys, there was a Mobley, you know, there was a lot of young guys that were playing a heavy minutes and, you know, they fought all the way through. So, another thing I liked was, Okoro came out and balled. That was fantastic to see. And, you know, at least JB decided to start half of what worked in the preseason, which was Lauri Markkanen. He's just got to take it to the finish line. You know, as I said at the beginning of the thread, I was like, he half-assed this job. You know, it was Markkanen and Okoro. And so at least there was one change. You know, they are willing to make a change in the starting lineup. They just only decided to do half of it, though. So I'd say those are the two big things is, you know, kind of just the fight, you know, the fight, and especially with Garland, the fight, and trying to mark in at the three. You know, I'm glad they tried it, but they need to finish the job and put a core there and see what let it fail before let it fail before you pull the plug on it. So
yeah, another thing, so the couple things that I liked were the lineups with Kevin Love and Chetty Osman and Evan Mobley and Ricky Rubio and Isaac Okoro. So it was right. Basically their four right. Bench guys plus Kevin Love. I thought those lineups were really effective. I thought Chetty Osman just came out gunning. You know, five
his
of
shot
six.
Was good.
Yeah, 5 of 6 from three of three, or from the field, 3 of 3 from the three-point line. You know, he looked great shooting. Looked great cutting to the basket, coming off curls. The one problem, one place he really struggled is the Cavs kind of got on the bad side of a couple runs when he was in. One of them being that kind of third quarter. Well, there was that second quarter run where the Grizz just, I think it was a 21-2 run when the Cavs are, or a 19-2 run, and it was brutal. And he got on the wrong side of that. And then he had a couple turnovers trying to get the ball to Evan Mobley in the third quarter that looked really like timing issues and just not used to playing with each other. And Evan kind of not knowing where to be. And it was hard to tell if it was on Mobley or Osman. But those things are going to get fixed.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the I'm looking at the defensive ratings. It's, you know, Chetty was 140, Cavs were 143.6 with Chetty on the court, 130 with Rubio, 130 with Mobley. I mean, Mobley had to go through some rookie growing pains tonight on the defensive end. You know,
he's
You know, but I mean, like, what's impressive to me about Mobley is I'm seeing Cavs offensive rating while he was on the court, 111.9.
We'll get to that next segment. Next segment.
Sorry.
Don't
sorry.
Jump the gun. I know we want to gush.
Yes.
We're going to save the best for last. You know, so Chetty, you know, really shot the ball well. I'm baffled if a guy just comes out absolutely red hot, 5 of 6 from the field, then gets no looks in the second half. Like, that's just, it drives me up the wall when that happens and the Cavs, you know, didn't make it a point to get him the ball when he was hot. You know, that's frustrating. But I thought that lineup, you know, in stretches looked good. You know, Kevin Love only 4 points, but had a positive plus minus, as did he didn't. But Isaac Okoro had a positive plus minus, a plus eight, and Kev was not too bad with minus three. And Kevin Love played with Jared Allen and Lauri Markkanen in that lineup too, and that lineup looked really effective, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I thought they could have – I think you are hinting at something there that's definitely I 100% agree with, is I think they could have milked a few more minutes from Love in the game, especially to give – I mean, they played Mobley 38 minutes.
Yeah.
That's kind of outrageous, you know?
Well, yeah, it's kind of outrageous that they played Isaac Okoro only 20.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
clearly Evan Mobley is going to play as many minutes as the Cavs want to give him.
Right.
Or as the Cavs will give him as many minutes as he's willing to play. Let me put it that way. And Kevin Love, 1 for 6 from the field, but he still had 4 assists in 17 minutes. I mean, I thought he played a decent game. He didn't shoot particularly well, but.
Right. Right.
And he had a couple times on defense where it was like, eh. But
he's cooked defensively anyway. We shouldn't expect anything there.
Yeah, well, I still thought he was better than Markkanen.
I think you're right. Yes. Yeah. Better defensive rating by 2 points. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was definitely a very interesting game. I thought, you know, Memphis was better coached and out-executed Cleveland down the stretch. Once again, we saw out-of-bounds turnovers down the stretch, which are just maddening. Clearly a lack of focus from the Cavs in places. And, yeah, I kind of agree with you. When you see these goofy lineups, you kind of feel like, are the Cavs just coaching to lose here? Like, what is this?
Did they even run that lineup in practice is what my question is.
Oh, I'm sure they did. I mean, we saw it in preseason. But what concerns me is that the Cavs, you know, one of the tweets I saw is, you know, is Lauri and Sexton kind of feels like it's going to be impossible to defend with. You know, I just don't see how that lineup can defend consistently. And when you get a team like Memphis that's smart, that won't let the Cavs go zone. There was a stretch in the second quarter where, you know, Memphis was running their entire offense. Every other possession was just, where's Lauri Markkanen and how can we get a mismatch on him or put him in a pick and roll? And it was every time they got a half court possession, that was happening. And it was very obvious. And the Cavs suffered for it. So, just my conclusion from that game, Lauri Markkanen's not a starter. That's
really.
I mean, I just don't see it. I don't think he's a good enough defensive player.
I think before I'm ready to declare that, I need to see him out there with Okoro first.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they were so good. It's just baffling net rating tonight for Isaac Okoro, 23.6, 130 offensive rating, 106 defensive rating. You know what Colin Sexton's was? It was 109 offensive rating, 126 defensive rating, minus 17.4 in 29 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a 40-point difference, nearly a 40-point difference. It is a 40-point difference.
Yeah. And I felt like Okoro was flying around at times, especially in the second half. I think he struggled in the first half, but I thought he played great in the second half. Had some big rebounds.
He was an acceptable rebounder. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Finally, you know, because he's playing the right position. He was just efficient offensively. You know what I mean? And he's a guy that's also, I think he's a great, he just has a good feel for the game. He knows when to pass. He knows if an extra pass needs to be made. He knows when he's supposed to go to the rack. You know, he takes advantage of the matchups he should. You know, he just plays in control, you know, surprisingly well for a young guy. And just, it's just mind-blowing. I just mystified completely why JB didn't just do, like, I don't understand. I hope someone asks him, like, why? I hope so. Like, see, that's the whole thing. No one will ask him why. I mean, like, it's a 40-point difference, and no one's going to ask him why he started Sexton instead of.
Well, Burrow. I think that's, you know, the conventional wisdom is, oh, you start the guy that didn't score 25 a game. It's, but that, you know, all the advanced
cowardice.
Stats.
That's cowardice. I mean, like, they have this. It's the second half of the year plus the preseason now that we have all this data that. And that's the thing, is that they're prioritizing the wrong thing. They're not prioritizing team success. They're not looking at it from a holistic point of view. They're only looking at it from, the five individuals who deserve to start, quote unquote, you know, because they put up stats. Like, why is it about that instead of what gets it done as a team? I don't know, you know, so.
Preach!
So, you inspired me, man. You inspired me because, like, you know, as you said it, I mean, you said it before the game started. And then what was hilarious is when Chris Fedor sent out that tweet, you know, Markkanen's starting, but Sexton's not. But there was a discussion, but we're not going to actually do it, you know?
Well, like, and it's kind of funny because, you know, they did that sub four minutes in. And, Okoro came in and then got in foul trouble, and it kind of blew up the rotation a little.
It did, yes. Yeah. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And, I don't know. I'm going insane.
Don't get too happening. Frustrated. It's the first that's game.
What, you're right. Thank you. Talk me down off the ledge.
Yeah, and I actually think this is kind of a difficult matchup for the Cavs. For one thing, the Grizzlies have a super strong center, which I think, you know, I had mentioned preseason.
Up. Yeah, he ate everybody up on the boards.
I mean, it just he was just pushing guys around and holding and just getting standing offensive rebounds just because nobody could get around his arms.
it's not grit and grind for nothing, right?
Yeah, Khal Drogo was in effect tonight, so.
That's perfect.
He was the moon and stars tonight.
That's awesome. Hey, you know, where else are you going to find tributes to Steven Adams? You know, nowhere on the internet will you find that except here.
But he impressed me this game. Anybody else from Memphis particularly stand out to you?
Well, I mean, D'Anthony Melton fan, sorry. And I pounded the table for him, on draft night. I was like, please, Cavs Dan, buy a pick. You know, he's plus 17 in 31 minutes. His defense was pretty active. 4-6 from 3, 8-14 from the field. You know, as you said, he was really nice. Good to see Brandon Clark back. You know, he had kind of done a disappearing act last year, hadn't he? You know?
Yeah, I was just about to get into that.
Yeah, yeah. So
he only played just a little less than 12 minutes, which really surprised me. But the one thing that I will note about Memphis is how damn deep they are. I mean, they ran an 11, and obviously they had some garbage time. No, they didn't really have garbage time tonight. They ran an 11 deep lineup tonight. Which you don't see a lot of teams do in the NBA. And, you know, their best player, Ja Morant, only had to play a little less than 34 minutes, which to score 37 points in 34 minutes is pretty good.
God, but he was unbelievable. And he was doing all his damage in the paint the thing.
Oh, he just gets there and he elevates and everybody else gets halfway through their elevation and then they start dropping and he's still going up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's an unbelievable athlete.
Yeah, yeah, we saw something.
And the touch that he has now is really phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I think they're a really deep team, and they move the ball really well. I thought they would struggle losing some of the guys they did, but they definitely have the bodies to play a lot of different lineups. I would really love the Cavs to be able to peel Brandon Clark off that team somehow. I feel like he would be a million times better fit than Lauri Markkanen, but I was very frustrated with Lauri tonight, so maybe I just need to give him more time. And I've always loved Brandon Clark.
Is your boy. That is absolutely your boy. Yeah, so that's why I had to name drop him for you.
Yeah. Oh, I know. No, he's this generation's Thad Young. So
there you go. There's one other guy I should give a shout out to for Memphis is Zaire Williams, the rookie.
No, he's not a. Is he a rookie?
I think he's a rookie.
Oh yeah, from Stanford.
Yes, yes. Plus 13 in 17 minutes, you know, got a steal, assist, you know, he was just kind of...
No, he looked very athletic.
Yes, exactly. That you hit the nail on the head, took the words right out of my mouth. He looks, man, he's long and athletic, and he knows the game. He knows where he's supposed to be. I guess we should know that from Stanford grads, huh? Or I guess not grads, but Stanford attendees.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the big thing about Memphis is just when you've got a guy... Excuse me, that's just a high usage superstar, the way Morant is. You can have these guys and you can develop these just pure athletes that can come in and play defense for you and,
right,
you know,
right,
do everything you need. But they had a lot of assists too. You know, Kyle Anderson had 4 assists. Tyus Jones, I thought, played a really nice game off the
solid
bench.
Solid. Absolutely. Great. Yeah, let's go Duke. Thank you for giving the Dukie the shout out there.
Yeah, so they were fun, and you know, it was a high-scoring game for sure. I mean, 132-131 or 121.
They had
fun
to have blown away to OU, don't you think?
Yeah. It was funny because there was only 30 fouls in the game, and like half of them were taken by Isaac Okoro. So there wasn't a lot of fouls in the game. I would like to see Lauri Markkanen have more than 0 fouls.
Absolutely. That's absolutely. That's one criticism I'll definitely go along with. What the heck, Laurie? You can't get beat up out there. You got to
put some lumber on some guys.
Definitely.
You're 7 foot.
Come on, baby.
Yeah. So, and when we come back, then we can gush about Evan Mobley, who was just had many jaw-dropping moments. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Cavs the Podcast. I'm Nate Smith, and I'm here with Chris Francis. And we're talking about the Cavs lost to the Grizzlies tonight, 132-121. And I think, you know, for you and me, at least for me, it wasn't a loss because we saw an NBA debut of a guy that looks like he could fall out of bed and be one of the better players in the NBA, and that's Evan Mobley. I mean, he just was everywhere tonight, had so many jaw-dropping plays that you're just amazed to see from a rookie in his very first NBA game. 17 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 0 turnovers. Just, you know, he was at the bottom of the Cavs team in plus-minus, but I don't think anybody who watched the Cavs tonight would think that that was actually his fault. I just thought he was phenomenal tonight. What were some of the things that you liked? You know, do you agree?
Well, I mean, I'm a slave to the numbers, so the big thing that I was impressed by was his offensive ability. Like, that was the big concern, especially if you looked at coming from preseason, is, man, this guy's locking it down on defense, but he's a little rough on the edges on offense. But when the bright lights turned on, man, I mean, 111 for a rookie in his first game, that's really good. You know, that's a huge improvement over what he did in the preseason. And I think defensively, I think there's a really good argument. He's kind of a victim of so many minutes, you know, especially, you know, not necessarily at the 5 spot, you know, having to play at the 4 spot when Allen was on the
floor. Well, and really the 3 a lot, too.
Right, right. Absolutely.
You know, because when you're playing in that jumbo lineup, it just, you got to cover for Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah. So, but having 6 assists.
The Finnish curtain, as I like to call him.
Yeah, absolutely. And 6 assists and 0 turnovers for a rookie in his first game, you know, in a one and done at that, you know, that's very rare and very special. And he even got his 2 stocks, you know, like, he was still active on defense, changing shots. You know, I said, you know, Ja Morant was just Ja Morant, you know, there's nothing you could do about that. That was just better offense beats good defense. So, I just liked his overall game. I think you made a good point during the game that, the ball should have found him more possibly in the lean moments, especially in the second quarter. In the first half. Yeah. I think the ball should have found him more as a jump start, because he was making plays. I mean, he was making plays by the pass. So, you know, give him the ball and let him make the right decision. He did it. You know, oh my God, the fast break he ran to get Jared Allen the dunk, you know, that was all him. He was point center in that moment, you know, 19-year-old, 20-year-old point center there. So, really impressed with what he did, especially offensively. He's going to need time to grow because he's a rookie. I'm not upset about the plus minus because I just know he's a rookie starter. You know, he's going to have to take his lumps and learn the league. But if he's going to give us this kind of offense, he can stay out on the court as long as he wants. I mean, he can figure out the defense. We know he's going to figure out the defense, right? You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was super impressed. The thing that impresses me the most is the way that he turns things that people said were negatives about him or things that he struggled with. He doesn't seem to take very long to improve upon them. And we saw this with the shooting. You know, he struggled shooting in the preseason. And we saw him start right out and take an elbow J against Jaren Jackson Jr. and just drain it.
That's right. Out the gate.
And then he shot that same shot later in the game. And then just even more impressively, when the Cavs were running and gunning in the third, he canned a left corner triple that was, you know, absolutely pure. It was funny because the next time down, he came and took a top of the key heat check three. And I was like, whoa, slow your roll, young fella. You know,
I loved it. I was like, this guy is no fear. I like that. You know?
Yeah,
that's the
best part. No fear. No hesitation. One of the other things that I just absolutely loved is he had a couple drives. You know, he had a drive where he got fouled on and he got to the line. And his strides, I haven't seen a long strider with his kind of footwork and his kind of athleticism since Giannis. I mean, he just can literally get from the three-point line to the basket in two steps. Am I wrong when I say that?
No, you. Yeah. You are preaching to the choir, my friend.
Yeah. No, he was phenomenal doing that. And one of my favorite plays in the whole game was that play where he caught the ball on the right wing, just a little past the elbow, and he looked like he was going to shoot. And I think everybody just expected him to stop. And he just gunned it drive style to the basket and the defense collapsed and he just threaded a pass to Jared Allen that he flushed. And I was like, holy cow, this kid's going to be special. I mean, it's just, that's not a play you see a rookie big make on the fly, just looking like a point guard. It was really impressive. I'm just gushing. He had a couple finishes tonight. He had that one finish where Steven Adams tried to foul him and he was just in the air and just like his arm was outstretched. He just flipped it up off the window and in for an and one. Just super big finish at the time. I called him Plastic Man. You know, he looked. Well,
the most amazing finish that I remember tonight was DG caught him wide open with a great pass. And I expected Evan to just finger roll it in, but he dunked it.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. He was cutting from the 3-point line and he caught the ball like a step in from the 3-point line and took two steps and dunked, on a bounce pass.
Unbelievable.
On a give and go bounce pass from Darius Garland.
Yeah. That dunk was insane. Like I couldn't, that was a Giannis. You were totally right. I love the comparison because that was a Giannis dunk. Where he just has these go-go gadget arms that just like all of a sudden he's dunking the ball like you'd never expect it.
Yeah, like it's almost like he's not a vertical. I don't think he's a super elite vertical leaper.
Right,
but man,
right.
Is he a super elite horizontal leaper. Like I feel like he could be a triple jump or a long jump guy. You know, just he gets so far on those strides. It's just amazing. Really impressive.
Basketball laboratory guy. Wow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like JB said, kudos to his dad for coaching him upright.
Oh yeah. Well, but I don't even think it's as much as it's him too. Like he just internalizes things so quickly. Like the shot. One of the things, The other things I saw, the rebounding. Like, his rebounding was supposed to be the knock on him, and he just had some fantastic rebounds tonight. Like, I have no doubts that when he gets a little more bulk and understands the game a little more, he could lead the NBA in rebounding, the same way Giannis does, you know. The other thing that I saw about him tonight, you know, one of the knocks on him in preseason was that he doesn't set very good screens. And that Jared Allen sets much better screens than him, which frees up the guards. I saw some good screens from him tonight. He was, you know, getting himself wide. He was tangling guys up just to the, you know, in the NBA, the best screen is the one where they basically don't call an illegal screen and you're just inside of that, where you're kind of borderline holding a guy when you're tangling him up with your arms a little. I thought he was really good at that. You know, one of the things he struggles with, he doesn't have the greatest core strength and he doesn't have the widest shoulders. So if you have that, you have to get your kind of arms engaged a little bit without getting called for a foul. And I thought he did a good job of that. So,
yeah, I mean, he's just, what a treat to watch.
He's going to be a wunderkind.
Yep.
I mean,
it's exciting.
It is exciting. And, I mean, he's just scratching the surface. What are some of the things that you felt like he needed to work on that surprised you a little bit of kind of – you were surprised he wasn't doing them well, I guess, is how I'll say it.
I mean, it was just rookie mistakes, you know? Like, he got tricked on anticipating multiple actions that were targeting him, you know, in two-man games, especially as a big. But I mean, you know, Ja Morant's kind of a hell of a tutorial, you know, on the first night of the NBA career.
Well, and Ja Morant and Steven Adams, and Steven Adams is likely as strong as a center as he'll play in the league.
You know, 10-year guy, right? Yeah. I mean, he's got to be a decade. He's got to be
getting around a Steven Adams screen is not an easy task.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, he had to go through his rookie pains, I think, more than anything is what I saw. I mean, I actually, you know, I thought you made a great point about him improving things that he's weaker on. I mean, the 9 rebounds, I like that. You know, there were 9 defensive rebounds on top of that. That's really what he was weakest at. And that's, I mean, he hit the boards and got things done there. And so I think it's mainly just having to learn the league and learning the pet plays the teams have and just learning guys' tendencies. You know, it's just something that's impossible to learn without experience. So, but I think, you know, as you said, he's such a quick learner. He internalizes information so well and applies it in a physical manner. And it's just a treat to watch. It's so amazing, you know, especially on the offensive end. I'm kind of still blown away about how good he was offensively.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I noted during the game was, like, people that were worried that he and Jared Allen couldn't play together. I don't think that's a worry at all because their interior passing was fantastic. I mean, he was part of the team feeding Jared Allen. And Jared Allen was really – he was the best Cav tonight. I don't think there's any denying that from anyone.
Yeah, I mean, he really was great. Yeah, I would put him and Okoro definitely up there. They were studs tonight. They were absolute studs tonight. So it was good to see two of the young guys who struggled, you know, in the preseason, really show out tonight.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, I felt like Allen should have got more minutes. With as well as he was playing, to get 29 minutes was a little bit of a crime. I do want to say that, kind of like you, I don't love 38 minutes for Evan Mobley because I think, like you said, he was kind of he did get gassed a little, and he was the victim of the minutes game for sure. One of the other things that I noticed was he was a little hesitant to switch when he should have switched. And, you know, he had Desmond Bane coming off a pin down going free to the basket. And he kind of hesitated. And he's like, in the NBA, you've got to just go stop that. You can't just give a guy a free run to the basket. And,
well, he's such a soft. I mean, there you go. That's probably what it is. One huge improvement that needs to be made on his part is, you can tell he's a soft-spoken guy. You know, you can tell he's not going to be he's not a Larry Nance who's screaming coverages, screaming, you know, ordering guys around. He's going to have to do that because that's what it takes to become an elite NBA defender is communication, especially from the backline guy, which he is. So he's going to have to, he's got to speak up.
You broke my heart. You broke my heart, Chris. Cause like I was, after the game,
you were just getting over Larry Nance.
I just feel like, oh my God, Larry Nance would be the perfect. The Cavs would have won this game tonight if they had Larry Nance instead of Lauri Markkanen and started him at the three. I mean, I'm just going to say that right now.
You're probably right. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, Larry Nance is the better player, so.
Yeah, I mean, at least the better all-around player. Lauri Markkanen is probably a better shooter, maybe a better overall offensive player, but and maybe fits what the Cavs need offensively more than Larry Nance, but you know, I would love to have that guy calling out that those coverages and being in Evan Mobley's ear and teaching him how to play basketball. But, you know, I'm happy for Larry Nance if Portland is where he wants to be. It just, my heart
Shout
hurts.
Out to Larry.
My
we
heart
love
hurts.
You, Larry. We,
my heart
we love
hurts
you, Larry.
A little, Chris.
It does. We love you, Larry. You know, if you're listening.
So we will be right back after that little shout out and we'll kind of wrap up the Cavs and go on some other things going around on around in the NBA. And we'll talk to you then. Welcome back to Cavs, a podcast. You know, in the break we talked about, is there more gushing we need to do about Evan Mobley? And but I guess we'll save it. I was super pleased with everything we saw. So, and just one more, you know, huge, I'm going to say, Chris, if Jared Allen plays like he did tonight, I'm going to say you're 100% wrong on that. The Cavs overpaid Jared Allen.
All right,
and
man,
and you'll happily agree with me, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. I'll take that L all day long. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. If he's doing that, wow. Wow. Man, so, I hope you took it personally.
So, you know, just around the NBA, did you watch the games last night?
Yeah, I did. I watched both, although I probably paid more attention to the Lakers.
Yeah, it was a much better game. That Milwaukee game.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Milwaukee is – they could be the best team in the league already.
I think they are, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're just from top to bottom a juggernaut right now, the way they're built. And I think – I call the MVP for KD, but I think this might be another MVP year for Giannis.
He can do it. I mean, oh my God. Like,
well, did you hear he made the NBA top 75?
Oh, great. I mean, he deserved it.
Because they've been announcing it. Oh, yeah, he absolutely does.
Yeah, so that's fantastic for him. And he's gone to another level with his game. He's got a little mid-ranger now.
Oh my gosh, God. And they just... They really, there was never any doubt about them beating the Nets the other night. And the Nets, I don't know if they have enough firepower. Like, they look like they're lacking.
There's something stinky. I mean, the vibes are not good. The vibes are not good. I don't like it.
Yeah. How do you stop Kyrie Irving? Wait.
Right? Exactly.
Same thing with James Harden.
So. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That's the thing. There you go. I mean, I think the Kyrie thing is kind of, there's a hangover. It was definitely, I think the Kyrie thing made the Nets think, and at least in that prime time, you know, premiere game, like, this isn't real. We're going to just treat, we're not even going to show up. We're not even treating this like a real game because it's not real until Kyrie's here. Yeah. I think they're assuming that Kyrie will eventually get vaxxed. He'll eventually want to get paid, and then they'll start actually playing. So that was the vibe I got from Brooklyn. I don't know what you think.
I think that's a great take. So as far as the Lakers-Warriors game, I had a hard time knowing what to think about it. You know, for me, it was the Warriors looked good. I couldn't tell if both those teams were – it was a really good game for sure. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell if both those teams were really good or both those teams looked really good because it was the very first night and it was a lot of old guys with fresh legs.
Well, here's my take, and I want to get your take off of it, is I think they were both contenders is what I saw. I think they're actually both contenders. And I think the story of the night was how good Golden State looked. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, Jordan Poole looks like he is one of those guys that Golden State figures out how to get on their bench or in their rotation that just absolutely helps them win. You know, we saw a little bit of that last year. There was a lot of rumblings about that in preseason. And a lot. It was funny because Whitney, who's a guy I follow on Twitter and, you know, CTB guy from way back in the day, was talking about how he was coming off like a C-level role player in the first half. And then, of course, second half, he just lit it up. So, and, you know, it's interesting to me because if they can play that well when Steph has a bad game,
exactly,
they don't have Clay, how long before how will they play when they have a good game? The other side of that, though, and you saw it with the Lakers too, and both these guys are, this is the kind of game they look good in because it's not the middle of, it's not the dregs of January. You know what I mean? These guys are old. They've all had a week of rest. They're going to look fine. It's when they're on that third game in four nights and
sure.
that they're going to start right. dragging.
The grind. Yeah, the grind. Yeah. I mean,
the grind is not good for old legs.
No, it's not. It's no aging's not for the weary.
Yeah. And it feels like the Lakers only have old legs. Like they don't feel like they have a lot of young legs.
I mean,
and yeah, go ahead. I know what you're going to say next.
Well, I was going to say they need to make a decision about Russell Westbrook. They're in the Colin Sexton situation themselves. They need to move Russell Westbrook to the bench because they're trying to play him off ball with LeBron, and it's just never going to work.
And it doesn't make any sense to me.
Exactly.
Because honestly,
he doesn't space the floor.
Well, LeBron should be the one off ball. You know,
yeah, no, and you know he's never going to do that.
Well, he has done it before. He's been forced to do it. I think they would be so much more unstoppable with LeBron off the ball.
I don't know about that.
Put LeBron in the pick and roll or pick and pop with as good of a shooter as he is now. It's just they're going to be so much better. You have to have Russell Westbrook moving towards the basket.
Definitely. Oh yeah.
He can't 100%. Be spacing the floor.
Yeah, 100%. The ball—he's only effective when the ball is in his hands.
I don't think that's 100% true, but it's 75% true.
Well, I mean, he was a disaster on the plus minus. I think he was like,
well, yeah,
he was -23. I'll look it up real quick. It was. He was -23 in 35 minutes and basically the only guy. I mean, he sticks out like a sore thumb. Every other guy was around neutral. You know, it was a bucket game. It was a close game. So,
yeah. And what I think you might see is, you know, where he's a token starter, goes out at the 4 minute, much like Colin Sexton, goes out at the 4 minute mark. And it's a lot of your turn, my turn, where they don't share the floor all that much during the game. And they take turns running the offense.
I love it.
That might make some sense. But you saw that a lot with Dean Wade Dean Wade.
So do you think
Dwayne Wade when Bron first got to the Heat? What were you saying?
Yeah, no, here's the question. Do you think Russell Westbrook starts the whole, do you think he starts every game? I mean, the games that he can the rest of the year.
Oh, yeah. I don't think
take
him completely falling off the Apple truck and just looking like the wheels came off the wagon for consistently for him to not start. They have way too much invested in that ego-wise, and, you know, LeBron's extended a lot of cred to make that happen. So,
yeah,
they'll figure it out.
What did they give up? Did they give up much?
What's the goofy kid's name?
Kuzma.
They gave up Kuzma. They gave up Montrezl Harrell, and I don't know if they gave a draft pickup or not, but they gave up Kuzma and Montrezl Harrell were the big ones. Yeah. So
wow, and they have for the pleasure of paying him 80 more million after this year.
Yes, yeah, that is also true. So I mean, I think it'll work out. Anthony Davis looked good and healthy. That team's all going to come down to health and how many games they can win to get a decent seed in the postseason.
100% agree.
And shooting. It was funny. Like, Rondo and Westbrook look really old at times. So it'll be interesting to see who that third scorer for them is on a night-to-night basis. But I think Westbrook will fill it out and figure it out.
Yeah, there was two guys they have out. Kendrick Nunn is one of them. I think there's your guy that you were just talking about, that third scorer. Yeah, and then I forget the other guy, but he was a shooter.
And Malik Monk actually looked pretty decent, too, few minutes I saw from him. Yeah. But that was mostly garbage time, too.
I mean, it was mainly you were absolutely right. The AD looked great, and it was basically the LeBron and AD show. So
which, you know, much like Ja Morant, you have a high-usage guy that you can run a whole offense around and can contribute at that level. It's hard to stop a team like that. Mm-hmm. And the Cavs and the Lakers have two of them. And if Wes is who Wes was last year, or Westbrook is who he was last year, they have three. So,
true.
So going around the scoreboard tonight a little bit, I'm watching Nuggets Suns, which is in the fourth quarter. It's looking really good. You know, the Nuggets are up 85-82. The Kings beat the Blazers are beating the Blazers. You know, after looking like garbage in the preseason, the Hornets squeaked out a win over the Pacers. LaMelo Ball with a 31-9-7.
Yeah, I heard he was ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you watch any of the highlights of that?
No. Is he just amazing? And
I haven't yet. I mean, he looks. And then, of course, they got Gordon Hayward back, which he scored 27. So that helps them immensely. That. I may have been wrong picking the under there. But, that team also comes down to health, too. So
very true. Yeah. So, I heard Bulls fans coping pretty hard during their struggle against the Pistons. So that was entertaining, at least.
You're friends with a lot of Bulls fans, aren't you?
Yeah, I know. It's just weird. I mean, a lot of Bulls fans, a lot of Warriors fans somehow. God, I mean, I should get sainthood for that. So,
yeah, I mean, it looked like the Bulls' problem was their bench was rough.
No, you're absolutely right. No, you hit the nail on the head. Is who's getting buckets? With Caruso and a whole bunch of scrubs is basically the problem there. So,
it's kind of funny, you know, they could really use a guy like Lauri Markkanen.
That's true.
I mean,
I think that was probably the role they envisioned for him going into the season before they got ready, before the late off season trade. So
But I mean, Zach LaVine with a 34-7-4 line, so he looked really impressive, and you know, good on Detroit for an entertaining loss. So.
That's the name of the game. They got robbed apparently on the cover with the refs, so they could have covered tonight. So.
Oh, a ref robbery that never.
A ref
happens.
Robbery, yes, indeed. Yeah. Is it Tim Donaghy on the court? Ooh.
Yeah, and then you know that we were talking about him a minute ago. The Wizards with a nice win, led by Brad Beal and Montrezl Harrell. You know. There's a team that actually does have a decent bench with Neto and Harrell and
I agree.
DJ off the bench. And,
you
know, and they still got some guys coming back from injury that are going to help them. So,
we all took the under on Toronto, didn't we?
I think we were split, but I think I took the under. I
might have screwed up. I might have took the over.
Yeah, it's hard to tell after one game. And then, you know, I think we all agree that the Rockets will probably be the worst team in the association, right?
Oh, yeah. Easily. I mean.
Well, they got waxed by the T-Wolves.
Whew.
And, you know, the T-Wolves, this might be the deepest T-Wolves team we've seen in a while. So, I mean.
Cat looked good. Did you see the highlight of his?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man, he was doing it Evan Mobley, coast to coast. And,
nice. You know, well, they won pretty handily. And, you know, they're running a 10-man rotation down to Jared Vanderbilt. And that's going to be a tough team.
Wow.
They got a lot of decent players.
Heard it here first, baby. Minnesota.
Well, it's just the West is so stacked, but yeah, they're good. And then
you're absolutely right. Yeah.
The only team that might so Sam Vicenzi called the Magic offense the clogged toilet offense.
Oh, he went there. Oh,
against
boy.
Against the Spurs who beat them handily, and he said, yeah, that team's going to be really rough. But the guy that looked really good for them was Mo Bamba, who hey. Has looked good all of preseason. So somewhere Evil Genius is cringing because he always liked to make fun of Mo Bamba. He always said if the Cavs draft Mo Bamba or Bol Bol, he's out. So,
oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, Mo Bamba had a decent game and – but yeah, they're going to struggle all year.
Yeah, they're bad.
If they, you know, maybe that's a place the Cavs can send Lauri Markkanen.
Man.
For Terrence Ross, maybe. I don't know. Woo. Of course, Terrence Ross minus 32 tonight. Woof.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. But, oh my goodness. Yeah, the Spurs, you know, are going to beat teams like that almost day in and day out. But, you know, they ran a really interesting lineup where they basically had eight guys in their rotation getting around or seven guys in their rotation getting 25 plus minutes. So they're going to run a really balanced rotation. So we'll see how that works out for them. And then of course the Jazz waxed the Thunder. A lot of people took the over on the Jazz this year in the betting, and they seem like a team that's going to light it up in the regular season. So
yeah, I guess the question with them is there a hangover from their loss to the Clippers? And is there a hangover?
I don't think you're going to know that until the postseason. Yeah, and I think the other side of that is from what I've read is that Rudy Gobert was a lot more injured in that series than anybody knew. And that was part of their issue. Well, he just dropped a 16.21 board game tonight. So
he's got to have a chip on his shoulder after how bad it went that game seven.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, that's a team that's really well put together and gotten a guy that at least in the preseason looked like an absolute steal in Jared Hughes. So I don't say surprise people, but I think they're just going to be every bit as tough as they were last year if that bench keeps playing like they have. So
they have tons. Well, I guess Jared Butler was one of the most impressive rookies of the preseason.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying.
And yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize that that's where he went. So, and what's so nice about them, you hit the nail on the head with them, is the continuity. I mean, they're bringing back the same. They've got a seven-man rotation that's, you know, been there forever now. Yeah. So,
and that helps. And the same coaching staff and, you know, they want my guy that I want to be the next coach of the Cavs.
Who was that?
I can't remember the assistant. Alex Gent.
Oh, Alex Jensen. Wow. Yeah. That was pretty good.
Every now and
I'm
again.
I'm surprised. You're famous for not remembering names, and that was like, damn.
It's the night is young, I guess. And of course, for OKC, it was, you know, that would have been a fun game to watch. They have a lot of guys I like on that team. Josh Giddey, an interesting first line with 4 points and 10 rebounds.
Hey, that's actually encouraging. I mean, at least
He looked really good in the preseason. I mean, he flirted with a triple-double quite a bit, but that team's going to struggle to score.
Yeah, yeah. Is Shea even playing?
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah, he led them with 18 points tonight.
Oh, yikes.
Which in the modern NBA is not enough.
Yeah, so, not going to get that done, especially for the hype surrounding him. Like, a guy that they expect to break out, you know, a big breakout, you know.
Well, the problem is just he is going to face double and triple teams all season.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know. Exactly.
So, and with that, we kind of walk through the NBA. I know we've got a double game homestand Friday and Saturday against Atlanta, and then against the Hornets and then Atlanta. So that should be super exciting. Get to see LaMelo Ball come in, and we get to see our old friend Gordon Hayward. So that should be a fun matchup, and we're looking forward to it. So we'll see you Friday night, Cavs fans. And I don't know, you got anything to pitch?
I do not yet.
Okay.
I'm flinching because
So in the break, I gave. Yeah. Can I tell this story?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Please. Yeah. So in the break, I gave Chris a hard time about you're not allowed to pitch articles that you don't publish anymore.
He shamed me, guys.
I shamed him. Shame. Yeah. I love the fact that the woman walking around doing shame in Game of Thrones is just won an Emmy for Ted Lasso. So
oh, for real? Wow.
Yeah. Have you seen Ted Lasso?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you gotta watch it. So there's a pitch. Wow. That show's really good. Really okay. Fun show. Okay. And then but what I want to pitch is another Apple TV show that I really enjoyed. I've watched about the first 5 episodes and still, you know, they don't do the whole binge release thing. They do the serial release, which is kind of annoying. Slow burn. There you go. But the show Foundation on Apple TV is a galactic civilization collapse show set 12,000 years in the future, with obvious parallels around, you know, the planet Earth as this galactic empire is collapsing. And it's super interesting. It's really well cast and written. It's based on an Isaac Asimov story.
Ah, okay. That's
or novel,
what
I believe.
Dang.
So yeah, a lot of fun. Well, really high production values, well shot.
Right.
Good cast. So I think you'll enjoy it if you like sci-fi, which I, of course, do. So
excellent. Love
and
it.
Then I think I'm going to go see Shang-Chi this weekend. So
there's good reviews about that, right?
Yeah. And then Eternals is coming out soon too, but I think that's November. Yeah. It's just me and the youngest this weekend. So, because my wife and my oldest are going to look at colleges. So, makes me feel old. Oh my God, you know what I'm saying?
What the heck?
Makes me feel old. So, you know, enjoy your kids while they're young, because it doesn't last long. So
that's right.
Before you know it, you'll be paying out of state tuition for college.
Oh.
So
where are they looking?
I'm not going to say. I'll tell you.
Oh, okay. No. Yeah. Sorry.
As always, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite bloggers.